I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big midweek of Scottish Premiership action. Celtic stretch their lead at the top to 7 points with a win away at Aberdeen. Rangers close in on the Dons after what's surely their best domestic performance of the season, a 6-0 victory against Kilmarnock, and Motherwell's struggles continue with a 4-1 defeat in Dundee. But Stuart Kettlewell is not a happy man with the referee. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, two very unhappy men in Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Well, I'm very happy, Gordon. It was a good night of football to watch 12 goals across the three games and some great goals within that as well. Good result for Celtic. Performance, probably not what Brendan Rodgers would be looking for in testing conditions, but 3 points is all important. And over to Ibrox, I mean, what a performance that was. Much more what Rangers fans expect from their team, and 6 goals into the bargain as well. And like you say, for Motherwell, it was always going to be a tough one, but losing 4 goals on the road, that's a sore one for Stuart Kettlewell's side. And games come thick and fast, just round the corner, and we're back at it again on Saturday.
Well done, everybody that went through the elements last night. First and foremost, supporters, Gordon, to sit there, because it was a dreadful night. But I think the entertainment was good, as Mark touched on. Ibrox Rangers fans must be phoning in here tonight happy. Yes, it's only a start. They'll not get carried away, but it's a very good start leading up to a very important, 10, 15 days coming up. You look up at Pittodrie. That's why Celtic, will go and be champions. You know, not the best at first half. I thought second half they were very good indeed. I think they deserved their win. And obviously Motherwell struggling a little bit. Big talking points at Dens. But Dundee scoring for fun at Dens Park just now, the fans must be enjoying that.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight, Rangers fans? I was going to ask, is that the best domestic performance of the season? Probably feels like quite an obvious question, but nevertheless, come on and elaborate. What was different last night? What was new about that? What was better? What worked? What do you want to see going forward? Are you confident it can be the start of something, or are you still sort of waiting to see, give it time to find out if it is the start of something, given how beaten down you've been by some of the performances this season? Can this be the start of something? Of course, it was a sort of new look attack. Is that something you think needs to continuously be picked going forward? All your thoughts from Ibrox. There was a top of the table clash under the lights at Pittodrie. Celtic come through it, 7 points ahead of Aberdeen, if it wasn't already. Is that the league over now, or are people still getting a bit carried away and going too early on that stuff? Celtic fans, what jumped out from that one for you? On the losing side, of course, Aberdeen fans, you did enough in the game, didn't you? I don't suppose you'll be too disappointed with the performance. Kilmarnock fans, though, is that a bit of a worry? I mean, I know you can obviously lose to Rangers at Ibrox, but is that a bit of a worry, the nature of it? Pick up the phone and let us know. And the game at Fir Park, Motherwell fans, if my social media is anything to go by, lots of you are extremely unhappy at the way things have been in the last few games. So why not pick up the phone and let us know? Does Stuart Kettlewell have a point, though? Should play have been stopped ahead of Dundee's second goal, which really sort of swings things in the match? All your thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025. What an incredible discovery I made today.
Go.
I'm going to have to elaborate later on in the show, but I'll just tease you. Let's just say I got sent a video of you Which was uploaded to YouTube 18 years ago.
And, hold on, do you have to wait till after 9 o'clock, or can you show up before?
Well, I mean, this
is a big question, because I'll have my legal team looking out at this.
I mean, in some ways it's so bad that we should save it till after 9 p.m. But
18 years ago,
in the way that you're suggesting, it's fine for pre-watershed. I know, I didn't think. When did YouTube start? It was like a 2005 sort of.
Was it on YouTube? Probably,
yeah, uploaded 18 years ago to YouTube.
Nah.
So what is he doing? Are you going to show us?
I'll try and show you, or at least let you hear.
Hold on.
So be good.
Are you sure that's me?
It's a video.
Listen.
Where is he in his career?
I've been in many videos that I've denied. I've been in. Let me tell you now.
Is he managing?
He's got jet black hair. I'll tell you that much.
Oh well, I did have 18 years ago. I was a young, handsome man then. Yeah. But
Time hasn't been good to me. Try and pull out the bag between now and the end of the show. 01419511025. Right, let's do a diluted version of this whilst the calls come in. On like a Monday with a full card, we'll go like result of the weekend, goal of the weekend, etc. There were three games, so you pick one result, he picks the other, I pick the other. They were all result of the night in their own way, right? Because Rangers were very good, Celtic such an important win,
Dundee
brilliant. As for the rest though, let's do that properly. What was your goal of the night?
I'm giving it to the man in form just now. I thought he was excellent over in France, scored 2 goals last night. Igerman, now he punished the Kilmarnock defence. When he got the ball, he'd only one thing in his mind, Gordon, and he's buried that in the bottom corner. Goalkeeper, absolutely no chance. A guy that looks like he's starting to flourish in the Rangers jersey. Terrific strike, terrific goal for me.
There's a couple of good goals last night, actually, and a good few at Ibrox as well. I thought Hatate's goal was a good one as well. Great technique to finish sharp. I'm going to go at Dens Park. Adewumi, first goal, comes in off that left-hand side, bends it far corner with his right foot. Brilliant goal.
Okay. Howler of the night. Is that enough over the three games? Can you pick one?
Yeah. I'm sad to say this. I'm going for God, hashtag John Beaton. I thought, if he looks back at that, in this day and age, if someone's down, it looks like a head knock. Stuart Kettlewell was very upset. Look, I'm not making excuses. He should still defend, and they lose three goals in 7 minutes.
And those can be tough, can't they? Because you don't know if you can see it. Your focus is in the game.
It's a big decision for the referee, but I just looking back at it, and I watched it, and we get the privilege of watching it a few times, slow motion and everything. But when you see someone down, I think you've got, in this day and age, for safety, you've got to stop the game.
Okay, Howler from you, Mark.
Team performance, I think, Kilmarnock, unfortunately. Worrying times for Derek McInnes, sitting with 13 points, 3 points just above Hearts, just above Hibs as well. And we've all rattled on about them, how bad they've been this season. I think everybody just expects it to turn for Kilmarnock, me included. And Derek McInnes, very good manager, but his team isn't performing well just now. And that was probably one of their worst last night. Looked easy to score against, easy to play against. In a bit of bother at the minute.
Okay, top man, top performer over the midweek.
I'm going to go again. There's loads that you could pick for, because people scoring goals when there's pressure on. But I'm going to go for Lyle Cameron, because you know, up in Dundee, a lot of hype about Luke McCown going, and Lennon Miller was obviously playing last night. But he's a young man at contract the end of season, 22-year-old, scores a couple last night. Top performer for Dundee, goes under the radar a lot.
But 5-5 against Motherwell. Obviously hates the Steelmen, does Lyle Cameron. We need to get to the bottom of this.
A couple of little deflections there, but he's been first brilliant. He's been brilliant. My top man, and I've got to give him it, right? And he deserves it, because he comes in for stick after stick after stick. The Rangers manager, come on. I think you said a great week, Gordon. Great result, performance in France. Yes, it wasn't pretty St Johnstone. We had phone calls about people leaving Ibrox so early. There was a bore fest. I said it was a bore fest. Certainly wasn't last night. I think he got his team right. He tweaked one or two things. Danilo Wettigerman as well. Brought on Dessers, got a reaction from him. 2-0. So if you're going along Ibrox last night, you ain't leaving early, because it was 6 goals. And when you come under so much pressure as a manager, I'm going to give it to him.
Season of goodwill from Gordon DL. Right, let's get stuck straight in on 01419511025. What did you make of last night's game, Celtic fans? How big a win was it? I've seen people asking, is that the league over? The 5th of December, very dramatic language, but is it appropriate? What did you make of it last night? The standouts, Rangers fans, was it the best domestic performance? I'd imagine so. Why was it so good? What was different? What worked about the team that has to go forward? And are you confident it can be the start of something. Motherwell fans, where is it going wrong? Daniel is in East Kilbride first of all, though. Daniel, how's it going?
I'm not too bad, thanks for having me on, panel.
A pleasure. A pleasure. What did you make of last night then?
I think I sort of went into the game over complacent, thinking, right, this is just going to be another run in the mill, and I'll give Aberdeen their due. They put up a great game, but I think overall it shows the passion and the determination of this Celtic squad. Even with a rough performance, scrappy at times, we still managed to come out on top with a decent win and take 3 points down the road.
What did you make of it, Mark, to sum it up?
Much what Daniel says there, wasn't it vintage? Wasn't it really good to watch, was it? Especially in that first half, but look, the conditions looked absolutely appalling, especially down this camera side.
So
where,
bad,
oh my goodness. Yeah, you know, particularly second half when Aberdeen are starting and some of the balls they play down the line end up, you know, the wind taking them right across the face of goal. So incredibly difficult. You could see Celtic were trying to play their usual way, and that's to be admired. But
and do you not find, having played and now being on the other side of it, it's actually almost, it's always much worse than it looks on TV as well.
Oh, without doubt.
Which would have been alarming.
Exactly.
Then.
So difficult. But Daniel's right. You've seen this a couple of times from the Celtic team now, you know, rolling up their sleeves and being gritty and just getting through. Kilmarnock at Rugby Park wasn't their best performance, but they won in a different way. Last night was similar. I thought the change at half time was crucial. And it's easy to say because Greg Taylor comes and gets the assist, but I think the way the game was panning out, and as soon as Taylor comes in the second half and how central he was, he gave Aberdeen a problem, and Celtic had a lot more of the ball and further forward areas, created more, and I thought that was crucial. So for all the stick Greg Taylor gets, I thought he was great when he comes on. He obviously has a hand in the goal, and one was all it needed to go over the line.
Yeah, you've got to say the wind and the rain coming in from the North Sea made it very difficult at Pittodrie. We've all been there under those terrible conditions, Mark. But I thought...
I don't know.
Do why did you make that sound so official?
That was a weather forecast.
Was. Uh-huh. Of North Sea, well done.
Yeah, North Sea, I know all my seas. But I've got to say, I thought Celtic, particularly second half, I thought Celtic played well. I did. I agree with Mark. I think making the changes, and he made them at the right time. They make a difference. And you've got to say the winning goal was a brilliant, you know, goal. Yeah. Greg Taylor, Hatate. That's a difficult skill, but great finish.
Daniel, let's think big picture first. I've seen the language used today that because it was the top two and the nature of the win and the points gap, that like that's the night that won Celtic the league already. We're barely in December. Are you feeling the same?
If I'm being brutally honest, completely disagree. We've seen positions like this before where tables can turn within a matter of games. Celtic could go on a bad run of form. Rangers, all credit to them, they're starting to pick up form. So I wouldn't say the league is over, but it's definitely in a difficult position for Rangers. But I think we do have a good three-way battle on our hands.
Gordon? Daniel's not willing to get too excited.
I think that if you're get your last 50p and gamble responsibly, I think you're putting on Celtic. I know what he's saying, it can be a dip in form, but you look at the Celtic team, the squad, the subs, everyone's come on, everyone's playing their part. I think if you're a Rangers fan, certainly got a bit of encouragement last night at Ibrox with Kilmarnock. I thought they looked completely different. They looked like a team that, you know, gets all the pats in the back in Europe, the way they play in Europe. I just thought there was a different spring in Rangers' step last night. But you're up against a squad that, you look at that bench, you look at Celtic last night, bringing on Greg Taylor's, and, you know, you've got Ida's up front, he come on, you can, you know, even the experience of James Forrest comes on there. You've got Ingles sitting £11 million on the bench. I've always said that Aberdeen will not split Celtic Rangers. But right now, and I know people will say it's early, you can't do that. I cannot see Celtic dropping that many points and going off that form.
Mark?
Yeah, I
agree. Was last night a big one?
It was a big one. It puts them 7 points ahead of Aberdeen, but 11 ahead of Rangers, and they've got a game in hand over Aberdeen as well. So, look, it's a big month from now until the beginning of January. Big games in there as well. You just can't see Celtic drop points. If Rangers continue to play like they did last night, then, you know, great for the Rangers fans, and they will then, in my opinion, catch Aberdeen and overtake them. But you're needing Celtic then to regress And at this moment in time, I can't see it. Just with the level of competition they've got within their squad.
Depends again at sort of who you're looking at, because you're now not looking at Aberdeen, are you? You think Rangers? What did you say? You think Rangers?
I think Rangers are a stick on to finish second.
Stick on now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll get to them. But has this been enhanced by last night? The combination of Aberdeen losing.
I've always thought over the course and distance that Rangers will find something, and Aberdeen may take that little bit of step back. Now you look at Aberdeen, 2 points in the last 12. And you look at them last night, I thought they put up a good show. I thought they're well organised. They've got good players. They'll come again. They'll win games. They'll lose games. But I've never believed, even from the start, that Aberdeen are going to split Celtic and Rangers. I just think that Rangers last night, they must take... Not last night, the week. They've had a great week. They go to France. They go up to St Johnstone. Yes, it wasn't great. They still got a 3 points. Last night, Rangers fans must be over the moon. So they're starting to pick up a little bit, Gordon, and I just think that Rangers have got better players than what Aberdeen have got.
What about specifically the game, Daniel? Any players that you thought deserved special mention?
I thought Trusty and Vickers were absolutely outstanding. I think that was one of their best performances last night. I think they really did keep us in the game. You could see at times Aberdeen were really pressing us quite hard, and I thought Vickers and Trusty were really good. First half, I thought Hatate was quite quiet. But then he's turned it around, obviously producing the winning goal. Bernardo, I didn't think he had his best game, nor did I think Kyogo. But as I say, always players will have moments where they're not performing their best, but it's just about sticking together and getting that 3 points at the end.
Mark?
I think he's right to mention the two centre-backs. Because of those conditions, it was so difficult for them. Any ball that was attempted over the top, they had to have full concentration all times, because you could quite clearly see the ball was actually moving, even when it was on the ground, from side to side. Mm-hmm. That's difficult from a defender's point of view. So I did think they were good, apart from trusting the closing minutes, where he actually... You know, he tries to pass to Carter Vickers.
Bails him out.
And was it Soccer? Soccer probably should score. So he gets off with that one. But for the majority, fine. But it wasn't really a night for standout performances. As I mentioned, Greg Taylor, I thought he did make a difference when he came on, just because how inverted he was. He gave Aberdeen a problem. But it was more a collective kind of roll up your sleeve and dig in. Because even Kuhn was quiet. But you could see him digging away and trying to get himself into the game in the second half. Wasn't quite coming off for him. But I think Brendan Rodgers will be happy with that sort of team effort and that collective effort.
I think Mark mentioned Greg Taylor's role in the goal, Gordon. It's obviously a quality ball. Was that a big moment at an important time for him? I said last Wednesday I went to work at the Bruges game. It was just a personal thing. I sit in here with you lot all the time. I don't really go out as often. And I was quite shocked at how readily Celtic Park was critical of Greg Taylor, shall we say. Not to say that he played brilliant, but I felt it was maybe just a bit disproportionate to what was actually happening. And all we saw after that was, that's it. Alex Vaio, you know, that's it. He needs a run in the team. Did last night show it's not that simple?
Oh, yeah. I was surprised that, especially going up there under the conditions and Pittodrie and knowing what was going to happen, because you know Aberdeen are going to try and, you know, upset your rhythm, get in about you. I thought Greg Taylor was started, but Brendan Rodgers decides to bring him on, and his ball into Hatate. It's a great ball. That's a guy that's played in the middle of the park. He obviously played there with Kilmarnock at times, and he knew that ball. He knew the timing of the run. Greg Taylor is a big player for Celtic. Yes, he comes under a little bit of criticism, but every team, supporters have a player near every team. You look at Tavernier. Tavernier's had it for so long, and then last night steps up with the first goal. Greg Taylor's that kind of guy. He'll come back. He was obviously put a lot of thought into Brendan Rodgers' head, because I thought Greg Taylor was a big part of Celtic winning that game last night.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, I'm putting words in their mouth a bit, but they pretty much think the league is over after last night. It's 5th of December. Daniel is not as confident. Let's hear the thoughts of Brendan Rodgers.
Under the circumstance, the conditions was awful for the players to play in. And I think you see, by sticking to our principles and how we play, that's where the winning goal came from. We had to showcase our attitude and mentality and everything we were saying before the game. This is your body language. This is everything. This is your way up in the north of Scotland. It's the rain, the wind is pouring in. Our supporters are stuck in a corner. We know cover, but we have to do it. do it for them, do it for ourselves. And the players showed a great mentality and a great bravery to still try to play how we want to play, and eventually we'll get a reward for that. It's still so early, 14 games, so there's only just over a third of the season gone, but we get to 7 points clear with a game in hand, then we're in a really, really good place. But still such a long way to go.
There you go. What's your take on it, though? The title race, where does it sit? And what about specifically last night's games? You want to keep going on the Pittodrie discussion? We can. As for you Rangers fans, what was good about last night? What was different? Why was it so much better? Can it be the start of something? You had your club's AGM today as well, which is always a fun day in Glasgow. So give us a call and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. And there's no shortage of talking points, because we had three huge games last night. Ones with implications for the title race, one which show Celtic's credentials, one which show Rangers in a whole new light from what we've seen them domestically. Or Motherwell at the start of something downwards. Let us know how you're feeling at 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. We're looking over all the big talking points. So just in case for some reason you're just joining us, what did last night mean overall for that title race and where it sits and so on? What about the specifics of the game? Pittodrie, Hatate, Taylor, whoever it was. And then Rangers fans, really keen to hear what you thought was different last night, why it was better. Is it the start of something? Are you still worried it could be some sort of false dawn? Or can Rangers build on that and take something forward and improve things? Because let's be honest, there's been a lot of negativity on here this season. Is it the slow start of something heading in the right direction? And what about the AGM? I've got a feeling that this is the only footballing city in the world that people care. I've never switched on Sky Sports News and said, oh, it's the Man United AGM today. But in Glasgow, it is important and it always leads to big talking points. So whatever you've got for us, pick up that phone. Ed is a Celtic fan who's made that well-known route from Curlook to New York, where he now lives. What did last night look like from New York City, Ed? Is that a potentially title-defining night already?
Well, yeah, I'm in Carluke, and I watched the whole game. And as usual, Celtic is a team of two halves, okay? Not that they played terribly in the first half, but in the second half with the replacements, you could see they took it to another level. And that goal was sensational. This could easily have been a draw last night, right? I mean, with the 7 points, look, statistically, this thing's over. Because this would mean Celtic have to lose three games. Now, they're not going to win every game. Please, I'm not even going to get on and say they're going to lose every game. They're going to win every game. But who are they going to lose to? Who can beat them? All right? I mean, again, they're going to another level. And I would hope they would take some of the other teams with them. I mean, Aberdeen is a sensational team. Why? Because of their manager, Jimmy Thalen. He has taken players and made them stars, made them better as a team. And that is very hard to do, okay? I mean, not that I want to take away anything necessarily from Philippe Clement, but I don't know. There's just something off about Rangers. I can't put my finger on it. I don't want to sit here and just criticize them because I'm a Celtic fan. I think that's silly. But, you know. So.
No, I take the point in terms of Ed's thinking, like, who's going to claw that back? And it depends who you're looking at, you know, because Ed's talking about the 7 points, which is Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying you don't see
no,
that.
I'm not
so
looking
then,
at Aberdeen.
Then you need to look at Rangers, which is 11 points, which is 4 games that Celtic would need to lose whilst Rangers don't lose any. Now, they still need to meet each other 3 times, so that possibility is there. Depends how much you believe in that possibility of the head to heads making a.
And plus,
dent in that.
Look, Ed's looking at Aberdeen. Quite rightly so. You can put the argument out, Aberdeen sitting in second place, right, 7 points behind. I look at Rangers because I think Rangers are going to finish second. I look at that 11-point gap. I look at the squad and the way Celtic are going about their business. I look at also the goal difference. I think there's 25 goals here difference. Are they going to make that up as well? So I just think, and I know it's early, and I know Rangers fans will be encouraged by last night, rightly so. I thought it was probably their best, well, in the league campaign, best performance, the way they played as well. They create a lot of chances. The first 15 minutes should have been 3-0. Suter missed an absolute sitter as well. So, yeah, I think Rangers will kick on, but I don't think they'll kick on enough and Celtic will come back towards them enough for Rangers to win the league. But, listen, I could be sitting here next year and Rangers fans coming on in their droves saying that I got it completely wrong, but I would doubt it very much.
Ed, talking about Rangers, Celtic, sorry, performing for a half, if you like, Mark, could you put a lot of it down to the conditions last night, or is there anything else there? I mean, Tynecastle, the first half was slow, but again, you've probably been hypercritical if you're going to these venues and still sort of winning all the time, and even the Tynecastle one ends up convincing.
Well, you're never going to get a season where you play good for 90 minutes every single game, so that's going to happen across the board. Tynecastle, yeah, they were poor, but they've got the quality to then step up. I think teams find that difficult, starting slow and then picking up. Celtic seem to have that in their locker, but it's the quality of their squad and the guys they can bring off the bench. Last night, though, you've got to put that down to conditions, because I think you can see in the first half, you can quite clearly see that they were sticking to the way that they play and they were trying to do the right things, but it was just almost impossible. But Ed's right in the respect, like, who they're going to lose to, because if ever there was going to be a time they were going to lose, maybe away at Killy, where they were coming off the back of a Champions League game, and they clearly weren't at their best. Killy played a different way, had chance after chance and didn't take them, and they somehow managed to wriggle out there scoring 2 goals. And then again, you look at Tynecastle. If you usually start bad at Tynecastle, you find it difficult to pick up. And then last night, Aberdeen, a team that's been brilliant this season at Pittodrie, the conditions are against you, but they still manage to find some way of winning. It's very difficult to go through a season as invincibles. Brendan Rodgers done it before. I can't see them doing it again.
No?
But no, I can't. Just because I know how difficult that is. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. I don't think we see it that often. So I think there will come a speed bump somewhere along the road. But it's these big games at the minute that count that they're getting through. One might come down further down the line when they're so far ahead. But I just don't know where they're going to drop points.
Who impressed you last night, Ed?
Excuse me, one more time.
Who impressed you last night?
Real Hatate. Always Cameron Carter-Vickers. Adam Ida, when he comes on the pitch, you can just get a different feel, that there's a much more aggressive feel to the team, okay? You know, the weather killed so much of the finesse of the game. I mean, Kyogo's a finesse player, and he just, something was off there. Overall, I mean, I can't pick on anyone player who didn't play to a good level, okay? You know, some of the passing still kills me, but what are you going to do? I mean, they're still passing to empty spaces. And it's like they pass to an empty space, and all of a sudden an Aberdeen player jumps on it. What do they think is going to happen? Come on.
I would love Ed to do a team talk. I think it'd be brilliant.
Absolutely.
That's Ed Lasso.
Ed Lasso. Oh, you've been sitting on that for the last 10 minutes, haven't you?
Oh, bravo. Brilliant.
That might be the quickest joke you've ever produced on here.
I would love to be in a dressing room, Ed, give me a team
talk. Just quickly, because Ed mentioned him in a different sense, what did you make of the Kyogo challenge on the Aberdeen goalkeeper?
I don't think it was a car. I think he was just going for it. It was an unfortunate clash, and it looks horrendous. Well done to the Aberdeen goalie, by the way, for getting up. No, I didn't think it merited anything.
I agree. I know that some people can look and think, oh, he's a bit late there. I don't think any intent whatsoever. I think it was just one of those coming together. And Mark's right. It was good to see the Aberdeen keeper just getting up and getting on with the game.
Mm. Okay, thank you very much to Ed. Loved that. Loved Ed's analysis. Yep. Let's hear from Philippe Clement, Rangers fans, time to jump on board. What was different about last night? What was better? What worked? Do you think it can be a springboard? Have you stumbled on, or not stumbled on, have you come up with something that you think can cause an upturn in fortunes domestically? The Rangers boss says it was exactly what the football he wants to see from his team.
The football that I want to see, and what we spoke about the last week and the last months, that it's about timing, the right runs, the right passes to get these connections on the pitch, to gel together with a lot of new players. If you see how many new players were on the pitch today also. So that the players get the reward also what they've been doing in the trainings and in the games. I don't think in the last two league games they were rewarded in that way, because we had also good chances. But today you finish it off, not all the time because it could have been more, but and like this, you see the potential and the way this team can play and open up teams who want to make a low block and man marking all over the pitch. I think they give a good example how we can be lethal in that way.
Chris is in Cambus Lang. This is a big opportunity, Chris, because there have been next to no domestic performances so far which have caused the Rangers fans to phone in and be complimentary. So take it away.
Right, here it goes. How are you getting on, guys? Is it all right?
Yeah, Chris.
Listen, I'm phoning under better circumstances. The last time I phoned you was after Dundee United, and let out a bad word, needless to say, you never get past your producer, did I?
Don't swear. Please don't swear.
No,
I've got enough on my plate with these two.
Listen, it's just a quick... Well, obviously really impressed with Rangers last night. There's a wee bit of a change of shape, and I don't think it's any surprise that having Danilo through the middle and Enigmani in the left, a bit of pace on the left-hand side. I think my point was more around the defensive. I think we've been really sound recently as well. We've been controlling games, but at the same time, the attacks have been stopping at the sort of front three. We're only getting anything from Cherny, and I think that having a bit of pace on the left-hand side and having Danilo who can finish up front has really helped us last night. The only sort of goals that we've been conceding, I think over maybe the last five or six games, has been JFD, a couple at the back post from JFD, and a free kick from outside the box against Nice. So I think defensively we've been really solid as well.
Yeah, let's put the points to Gordon, especially the attacking one. Not because the defensive one is a fair point, but not a lot's changed there. But last night, I've seen it described a few ways. I was there working. People saying, look what happens when you play 4-4-2, get an extra striker on. Maybe not quite as simple as that, but it was more, you know, Hadji sort of came off the left, Cherny off the right, Egerman was close to Dessers, but there was a kind of lot of, you know, as Chris says, Egerman then found himself out on the left a few times. Did you notice a big change? Did it work? Is it the start of something?
The big change for me, I think Egerman has been good the last couple of games, obviously Thursday night. Last night scored a great goal. I think Hadji coming in has given them such a lift. You see Rangers' first goal. The first goal's important, especially against a Kilmarnock side that went there to probably sit deep and make it difficult for Rangers, try and get the crowd against them and defend very well. He's ball to the back post. Yes, if you're Kilmarnock, you're probably looking at your defender, but Tavernier gets here. He's got the ball is absolutely brilliant. I think Hadji gives them that spring. Mm-hmm. I think he gives them something different, Gordon.
The game was never in doubt. It's a 6-0, it's a doing. But if there was a period in the game that you maybe weren't sure, it was that lead up to the first goal, because they started quick and then it kind of
dip.
So you're right, the first goal, it's really important.
And plus, I've got to say, when I seen it and I seen Hadji playing in the left, I'm thinking, what is he doing? But I thought Hadji was very good. I'll tell you another reason I really liked Rangers last night. Now, the argument is young Barnes been probably Rangers' best player since he's walked into the building. The Rangers fans love him. I like the fact that Raskin just sat there as the one midfield player, really, and let the rest go and play and go and attack Kilmarnock. I don't think Rangers at Ibrox, unless you're playing against Celtic, I don't think you need two sitting midfield players that are going to take the ball off the centre halves. I think one's enough, right? And let the other ones go and, you know, interchange and play. Thought the movement was good. They punished them. And also, the big plus for me, you're talking about, you know, we've got Danilo can score goals. Disser's come on the park and scored two. You know, probably see if he'd have started that game the way Rangers were going, he'd have probably snapped to the chances and missed them. But it was clinical. Two very, very good finishes. It was a good night for Rangers.
Yeah, I thought it were brilliant. Most impressive I've seen them. I thought Kelly were lucky to get there. We're six. But it does make a difference. I think that's spot on. We've been seeing it for weeks, and callers have been saying it when they phone in. They don't need those two defensive midfielders. You add just someone a wee bit further forward and you just get more bodies in the box. You create more opportunities. But Hadji was a lot to do with everything good last night. Just those little passes, you know, he sees a pass, he's brave enough to play it. Especially at home, I think you can afford that luxury in there. So a good night all round for Philippe Clement. Daz is right in highlight. A good week because he was under pressure. And Rangers fans expect more of that every week at home.
We're pretty close to the travel crisp, but if you've got another point, make it snappy.
Aye, listen, I could totally agree with what the guy said about Hadji there. I think some decisions at Rangers have been as clear as the nose in your face. They've not been getting made. Things like bringing Hadji back in the squad, it kind of takes us on to the AGM as well. I don't know about you guys, I think the part that stood out to me was 800 grand for kind of four or five players that went out the door at the weekend, I think. In terms of governance of the club and leading. I mean, it's nothing we didn't already know, but it's now being put out at AGM today, and I think it was just really, really shocking. We need to be a bit of a change of transfer strategy, and I think we do need to try and give some of the young guys that are in there, like your Jeff D's Barons. I know Raskin's been there for a long time, but him and Enigmani, some time just to flourish and find a feet a wee bit here.
I think Chris is right. That's clearly the main thing the Rangers fans have latched onto. There were a few interesting points from the AGM, and it was confirmation again. I think people sort of kind of knew this or thought this, but confirmed today that Rangers received £800,000 for Lammers, Goldson, Cantwell, Wright and McCrory.
But within that, how many of those would they have made money on if they kept them at the club? And how much money did they save with shifting their wage?
It was clearly an attempt to get the wages, yeah. No doubt about it, but still hard. That's like a damage limitation measure. But you're not going to look at that and describe it as good business.
No, but I think that's where Rangers are at. They obviously want a trading model that they can sell young upcoming players for millions of pounds. They obviously need to balance the books and get the wage bill down. So I think it's the best, you know, the situation they were in, because they've never recouped any money.
Where's the big money in the five players? What are you expecting?
Those players are under contract, though.
Yeah, but I agree with Mark. And they get Lundstrom out because of money as well. So I think they had to
clear... He was out of contract.
Yeah, they had to clear the decks wages-wise. And sometimes, look, it has to be ripped up and start again, like Celtic's model. You have to get these young players, get them on their contracts, get them on long deals.
But that's
look
what I mean,
to sell
though.
Them on. Look at their that's European.
That's got to be confirmation of how bad things were previously.
Yes.
Then.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can't deny that. And I think that the Rangers fans acknowledge that, and I think the board should acknowledge it if they're going to go forward.
Thank you very much to Chris. Let me tell you about this before we go further.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas
with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
Oh, it's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas time, all right, because these two are off to the Cash for Kids lunch tomorrow, the highlight of your social calendar.
Yeah.
Yep.
You've been really excited about it, haven't you?
Do you know something? I bought new clobber.
Have you?
Yeah.
What are you wearing?
I'm going for a spray the morning at 10 o'clock. Spray tan.
Spray tan.
Did I hear you inviting members of the office to your table tomorrow.
Yeah,
you don't even have your own table.
I'm hosting.
I heard you swapping phone numbers with someone.
Right. Just you calm down. Right. My business is my business.
That's fine.
Yes.
Listen, a smooth operator.
He really cares passionately about raising money for children
exactly.
in Glasgow and the West. But the social event tomorrow is neither here nor there. However, what is important for lots of you, Celtic take on Rangers in the League Cup final at Hampden, 15th of December, and you could be there whilst doing your bit for Cash for Kids. Seriously, the ultimate win-win. We have got a pair of VIP silver debenture tickets for Celtic fans and for Rangers fans. Lounge access, main stand, the full shooting match. And you would be winning those tickets whilst doing your bit for a charity right here in Glasgow in the West that really needs your help. So what's not to like? For your chance to win two tickets for the cup final, all you need to do is text Celtic to 84901, or you guessed it, Rangers to 84901 before 8 p.m. Thursday the 12th of December. So if you're a Celtic supporter, obviously Celtic to 84901. If you're a Rangers fan, Rangers to 84901. The text costs one standard network rate message plus a £10 donation to Cash for Kids. Now, we can guarantee that every single penny of that goes straight back to children that need your help. So you're doing your bit for the charity and you might end up with the tickets. VIP, silver debenture, lounge access in the main stand. I'm sure you'll agree it is not a bad deal, that. So over 18s only, T's and C's on the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com, and good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here reflecting on last night's action. We've had a bit of chat about Rangers AGM today as well. Are you out of breath? Because
yeah.
The listeners didn't need to know this, but now that you're breathing heavily into the mic because you spent the break dancing around the studio with a 5 foot tall cuddly toy that appears to be in the studio.
I'm practicing for tomorrow. Okay, I'm hoping I'm not. That's my partner. But I had a few.
Bring your pal in. Go and grab him more.
That is worrying how out of breath he is. He was
okay?
Actually doing a waltz there for the full 3 minute break.
Yeah. Just sit them on your knee.
Oh my God. The camera can't see you.
Just sit down.
Mate, come over here, William.
Probably make more sense than you. So hurry up, sit down, take your seat. 0141 951.
There he is.
1025. If you want to get your point across. Wow.
Just sit like that the rest of the night.
Definitely will make more sense. And by the way, for anyone who's not watching the live stream and is just listening to the radio, they're not going to have a clue what's going on here. Oh, dear me. Well, let's hear a bit more from Philippe Clement. He says the performance shows what they can do when they have attacking players available.
We have a lot of games in the weeks to come, so it's important with all squad also that they understand what to do. At that moment of the season, we didn't have the depth in the squad also with the amount of games. So it's important to have players fit, to have players back. Danny played a brilliant game today. He was almost the last 12 months not available for the squad. So those are major things. Hamza is just coming out of a different league. He's adapting really good. And there are a lot of examples, the way Yefte is now playing. There are a lot of players only 2-3 months or 4 months here. It's normal that it was not top yet, but I want to see more of these games. That's what I'm going to push on, like I've been pushing the last weeks and the months, also to get it better and better and better in every detail. And we're going to continue in that way.
There's a sort of, I don't know if it's a vindication, that's not the right word, but for a while, Gordon, Philippe Clement's been saying, I just need more players available. And, you know, the opposition goalkeepers have been preventing us. I felt it was a little bit last night of him saying like this has been coming sort of thing, and I don't quite know if the Rangers fans would go that far, but nevertheless, like they did the job. Can it be the start then? Does you know Igaman and Danilo and Hadji, that kind of trio, do they need to start regularly, keep it that way, try and...
Well, it could be the start, because I think that the Rangers fans were desperate for something going. You know, they were desperate for an encouragement. I think the manager was going out there every game. I think people were switching off with his comments. I'm not going to criticise him, right? I'm certainly not, because I don't think he deserves that. He's got a big sort of a, what, 10 days, whatever it may be. He's got Ross County away.
No, 10 days is the cup final, yeah.
Yeah, he's got Ross County away, he's got Spurs at home, and he's got Celtic at Hampden Park. I keep saying it, it could change in a heartbeat for him. All of a sudden, he could become a real important figure at Ibrox, and the fans go with him.
Joe is on the line. What made you call tonight, Joe?
I was at the game last night, and just agree with a lot of the points that's been made. I mean, I thought it was, I wasn't expecting it. I don't think many Rangers fans were expecting it, but it was a pleasant surprise. It was a good performance. I liked the 4-4-2. I liked the fact that he dropped Proper and brought in Balogun. I liked the, I think Nico Raskin had one of his best games in a Rangers jersey. I thought Egerman played very, very well. I mean, his link-up play from midfield to the front, and obviously his combination play with the wingers. I think Yanis Hadji has been a massive re-addition to the squad. I mean, Hadji's obviously got the quality, and it obviously shows what Clement thinks of him as well, because as soon as he was available, he was brought on at half-time for his first game. I mean, fair enough, he was sent off, but he's been starting a lot of games. Just a pity he's not in the European squad. But credit where credit's due. I've been on this programme a lot criticising Clement. I do have massive sympathy for him, because I think he's been sold a lemon. I don't think he's been told the whole story. But credit where credit's due. He got it right last night. You can't just criticise the guy all the time. He got it right last night. It was a great performance. Not one that any of us were expecting. But I still think there is, I mean, the AGM today, I mean, just basically confirmed what a lot of us already were thinking. There's massive, massive problems at Ibrox from top to bottom.
What was the most alarming bit? Are you on about the 800,000 again, you know, for the players that left in the summer?
I was flabbergasted when I mean, honestly, I was disgusted, because if you read, I mean, okay, I know we can't read everything we're writing. We can't believe everything we're reading the press. But I was under the impression that we had got 800 grand for Cantwell alone. Never mind 800 grand for five of them. I mean, Sam Lammers, if you read the reports, we got X and Y for him. We apparently were supposedly get money for Goldson. We are supposedly get a fee for McCrory. And it turns out we've had some sort of fire sale and just gave them all away. Now, these guys that are running Rangers are trying to run Rangers, but very unsuccessfully. These are all seasoned businessmen. I mean, these are all guys that who I'm sure in their normal business lives out with Rangers, had they made these decisions with their businesses within the last 2 minutes. But they've come into Rangers, they're frittering away your money, they're asking fans constantly to come up with this, come up with that, buy four tops, buy my gels, renew your season tickets. The fans are sick of it. Like I say, I was at the game last night, and I've noticed it against Dundee United in the last few games. Sections of the Copeland Road, the Sandy Jardine, the main stand, just empty. Empty. And these are season ticket holder seats. So this is fans, and okay, it was bad weather in that last night, but I think this is fans starting to vote with their feet. Everybody's sick of it. Everybody's sick of it, and I don't see how we're going to get out of it. I don't see, unless we have somebody that's going to come in and invest money into us, but I just don't see where we're going to go. I don't see a way out of this for Rangers, and I think there's not going to be an overnight fix. I mean, Rangers fans that live in the real world, we know I don't even think you can use the word rebuild, because we're not in the process of rebuilding, because we're not even in the process of getting the foundations in place to start a rebuild. I think what's there just now is not working from top to bottom. It's not working. The manager, again, like I say, I've been one of his biggest critics. Again, I've got sympathy with him, because I think he's been sold a lemon, but I don't think he's a man to take Rangers forward. As you were saying there, the comments, I mean, the comments after the Aberdeen game at Pittodrie, and you're looking at them thinking, what game were you watching, mate? Because it's not the same one everybody else is watching. The nonsense that he speaks after the games sometimes, be a realist. We've been bad, we were terrible last night, we were very, very good. Take the plaudits, we were very, very good last night.
I suppose that is it. Sorry to interrupt, I'm conscious of that clock up there that's staring at me, but you know what it's like, Gordon, if you can even just start bit by bit fixing things on the pitch. I'm not saying the rest of the stuff not important, but it becomes less important.
Yeah,
you know, you can get away with a little bit of stuff behind the scenes. I know it's, it goes hand in hand though.
Look, the fans will stay with you if the team's performing, Gordon, and they're at the top. They've had a good week and they've got to celebrate that, but they've got to keep kicking on.
Thanks to Joe. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to humiliate Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. Win yourself a signed ball and even chuck some money into the Cash for Kids pot as well. Lines close when the news finishes, so give us a call for Beat the Pundit right now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here reflecting on a big night in the Scottish Premiership. If you're just joining us, looking at the convincing win at Ibrox, what was different, what was better? Is it the start of something, Rangers fans? The AGM today has got a bit of attention as well. As for Celtic's win at Aberdeen, are we talking title defining? Are you willing to stick your neck out this early? Or is there still some mileage there? What stood out for you from Pittodrie? Yet to hear from you Motherwell fans. I looked at social media last night. It was not a happy place. So what did you make of that one at Dens? And anything else, you know where we are. We'll play this first.
See, before we go, can we address a big elephant in the room? And it's no Mark.
That's a gorilla over there, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's no Mark this time. Big special day for you today.
Oh, so it is. Oh,
yes.
Gordon,
big, you don't like to give out your birthday, do you?
Well, it's not a special birthday, though.
Well, but
35.
What's that mean?
It's a big one.
I thought you were older, mate.
I was older.
Right, come on. Tell me you didn't go to and do work in your birthday. Surely you went and get spoiled.
I worked all day and then spending the night with you two.
Right, okay, but
I was a man in my mid-20s when I started doing this job, and you two have aged me considerably.
Right. But what are you hoping for tonight?
Do you want me to answer that?
No, go
for it.
I know what I'd be hoping for. What are you thinking? A nice meal when you go home?
I've got a nice dinner, that'll do me.
Any
what are you
nice
having?
Presents? Are you wearing it?
Was that new? Is that a birthday gift?
Of course.
Great shout.
Out the wrapping paper this morning. Don't need to iron it.
Still got a tag on it.
That's
nice.
Yeah.
What else you get?
That was new. Like, what are you two building up to? What's
Not a thing.
Jaffa cakes. Oh, look at that. We brought you these. We chipped in. Brought you these Jaffa cakes.
No, my gran got me them and I brought them in for you two.
Well done, gran.
Thanks, gran.
Anyway, have you had a good birthday? Or has it just...
It's just been like every other day.
I know. You've got to take a day off when it's your birthday. Don't you?
Dedicated to the cause.
Well, anyway, happy 35th, and I hope whatever you want tonight you get.
I just don't like the way you're saying that.
A meal. I know you like your food.
I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking.
A nice bite to eat.
Let's play Beat the Pundit.
And a jumper at Fitz.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time.
You'll love that.
I'll take a sign ball. So will John in Kilmarnock. How are you, John?
How you doing, lads? You alright?
Not bad, John. Have you ever played before?
No, I've never played before.
Oh, you'll never play
How's
again.
How's life as a Kilmarnock fan after last night?
Mate, somebody's got to take the hit, hasn't they? Listen, we're in that season now. We're on a wee European hangover, do you know what I mean? But it's enjoyable watching Kelly.
Well, it can't have been enjoyable last night, but you're right, maybe it is European hangover.
European hangover? I mean, I've had some hangovers in my time, but they don't last 6 months.
Yeah, listen, I'll tell you one thing. It was Simon Donnelly that was on the other night. I pulled a go at Ricky. I tell Ricky the Captain Conker. He put it on Twitter.
Oh, the mascot.
Aye, he put it on Twitter.
Do you know him well, do you?
I know Ricky well.
Who, the squirrel?
Oh, listen, why do we keep giving... This guy,
you know the squirrel?
This guy gets more airtime than any footballer in Scotland.
Aye.
Because there was a question about the badger wasn't there?
Yeah.
This guy gives us a stick on Twitter because we always either mix him up, what type of animal he is, or we forget his name, and yet here we are, talking about him again. I'll never forget the time you came in and said, I don't know, am I allowed to shatter the illusion of any young people listening at 7 o'clock, where you came in and said you played golf with Hoopy the Huddle Hound?
Oh, yes.
And I just envisions it, like, the hound. Yeah, on the first tee.
Did your mascot on?
And you lost Beat the Pundit to
the Panda.
Chaos the Panda.
Chaos
the Panda from Ayr.
I'll let Chaos win. That was a fix.
Anyway, John, what we'll do here is toss the chocolate coin, which you've still not eaten. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon DL that plays. And it is, it's the mascot man himself. It's Tails. You're in good form?
No? Yeah, 12 out of 13.
Let's see how he goes tonight. So we'll give him some greatest hits radio, John, so that he can't hear what's going on. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, John, and you're welcome to pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Good man. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. How many different scorers were there for Rangers last night?
Five.
Which team won the first ever Scottish Cup in 1874?
Oh, Queen's Park.
How many Lions are on Airdrie's badge?
Two.
Tony Bloom is associated with which English Premier League club?
Manchester United.
Who was the last Aberdeen manager to beat Celtic?
Oh, pass. Oh.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was sacked by which team this week?
Oh, pass.
True or false, Arbroath's Gayfield is closer to the sea than any stadium in Europe?
True.
You alright?
I'm out. Yeah, I'm
must
back.
Be. You must be Christmas song territory.
No, True Hearts. Better Phil Collins. Than just one beat.
I mean, that almost
is
certainly
that
not the words, but
is it the words?
I know what song you meant. Collins, you just get every song wrong.
Yeah.
Do you honestly thought about you today. Just as to sort of rewind a bit, saying that I spent nearly a decade, not quite, of my life on here, and I feel like we know each other quite a lot. As soon as I heard Johnny Mathis, "When a Child Is Born," today, straight away I just thought that's Gordon DL's favourite Christmas song, and it is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like, it's still your favourite.
Why do you know that?
I love Johnny Mathis.
His favourite of all the classics. That's his favourite Christmas song.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
That's weird.
What's yours?
Favourite Christmas song?
Oh, listen, save this. This is a Saturday afternoon.
Come on, I'm in for Beat the Pundit here.
John's good.
Ah, John's good. I'm brilliant.
30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
Your time starts now. How many different scorers were there for Rangers last night?
Five.
Which team won the first ever Scottish Cup in 1874?
Lanark.
How many Lions are there on Airdrie's badge?
Three.
Tony Bloom is associated with which English Premier League club?
Brighton.
Who was the last Aberdeen manager to beat Celtic?
McInnes.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was sacked by which team this week?
Fenerbahce, but wasn't he?
True or false, Arbroath's Gayfield is closer to the sea than any other stadium in Europe?
Oh, that's 100% true. Okay. You can put your arm out as a winger and wash your hands.
Okay.
So that's true.
That's not your best line, that is
no
it?
But you can,
you can, it's... put your arm out as a winger and wash your hands.
If you're playing out in the wide areas, you can just go like, no, I mean, dip the sea.
I got it. I just felt there was a more succinct way of describing it.
Right, anyway, okay.
Not criticising your comedy, John. What did you think?
I'm just happy to be on, do you know what I mean?
Not like that,
John. You're not a donut man, are you?
That sounds like he's lost.
You think you've battered John?
I think it's
close. Don't you try and look at my sheet.
I'm not looking at you. I'll tell you what, if I could see for you there.
How many different scorers were there for Rangers last night? Five. John knew it because he's distraught about it as a Kilmarnock fan. And you had them written down and I saw you looking, which, I mean, it's fine. There's nothing, I guess there's nothing against that. But I saw you looking through your notes. So it is 1-1. Which team won the first ever Scottish Cup? Do you want to know how nice I am to you? Do you know what the question actually says?
What?
Which... I mean, nice slash insulting, which I'm about to be. Which team won the inaugural Scottish Cup?
Yeah,
I just said the first ever, right, just to make it, just in case you didn't know what that word meant.
Yeah, I still wear it, Melanock.
Queen's Park.
Oh no, I would have
waited. Right?
You got it right, John.
John, get it right.
Get
in. Okay, John. Calm your jets. Still a bit to go,
1874.
Son.
I think Hugh Keevans was about six or something. He said,
"Oh, Queen's along. Park or Lanark."
Unlucky, mate.
Shut up. I'll tell you what, I hope I can him.
I know, John, you've gone early. John, I hate when the questions are so like skewed towards the pundits, because how many Lions are on the Airdrie badge? You've got the former Airdrie manager sitting next to the former Airdrie director of football. What did you say again, John?
Two.
It is two.
You're joking.
I'm not joking, John.
What did I say?
You said three. That's England you're thinking of.
No, I'm going to tell you something, right? I thought you said air.
And but there's I'm no thinking, Lions exactly. in the air.
I know.
So I know. Why would you say three then?
I don't know. I thought you said air.
That's the worst excuse ever.
Am I getting beat 3-1 with donut heed?
Yes, indeed,
right,
you are.
Okay.
However, Tommy
back.
Bloom,
Brighton,
you've pulled one back. Derek McInnes, the last Aberdeen manager to beat Celtic, you've equalised.
Oh, all of a sudden it's no longer good news, John boy.
John's a Kelly fan.
Doing it's the last one.
Just wait. Just you wait.
Tell me you said false.
No, that's it, true, mate.
Gayfield is closer to the sea than any stadium of Europe. You both got it. What about Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, though? He was sacked by which team this week? You said Fenerbahce, and it is wrong.
Oh, no, it's
Besiktas.
Besiktas.
John, what are you laughing at? You didn't get it either. I was trying to wind him up.
John, I thought it was B.
John thought he'd got it there. He's chuckling away.
What did you say, John? Clyde?
Mate, I never got that far.
You didn't. You didn't. You passed it.
Oh, did I?
Oh, my God, this is...
You're drawing me a guy that can't even remember what questions he had.
40, that's a good thing, mate.
In a way, right.
John, are you sitting there in the studio?
No, mate.
Right, the tiebreaker. Listen, don't say it. Here's the deal. We ask the question, we get Gordon to write his answer down. We then invite you to give me your attempt, John, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Disclaimer, I have no idea who researched this question. And fair play for coming up with this.
Right, go.
How many, wait till he's written it down, John, you strike me as the type that's about to shout it out. How many shots on target have there been in the Scottish Premiership this season? How many shots on target have there been in the Scottish Premiership this season? John, what are you going for?
Many games we played.
Hurry just up, John. Up. 67 or something, John.
Just how many shots on target, John?
Oh, I'll just go 200.
It's enough. Donut.
It's never enough.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. I've spoiled it.
Get in there, John. Remember that shout.
Gordon is five. John, sorry, is 518 out. And you're closer than that. You said 1,059. Yeah. A very random number, I have to say. It's 718.
Oh, victory well for it. Well done. Well done, John. You're spewing, aren't you?
He's just happy to be there.
You're spewing, John, aren't you? No ball come to you, mate.
I liked John. I thought he was good.
He went too early. He went too early.
Nah, but he took you to a tiebreaker. That's decent. Right, John, let's get serious. Let's bring it down. Let's bring the tone down. What's happening with your team? What about last night?
Don't have a clue. I honestly don't know. It's just one of the things. You go to Ibrox, you don't expect nothing. You maybe expect a draw or a goal, but I wasn't expecting a 6-0 grubbing. I wasn't expecting that at all. But fair play to Rangers, you know what I mean? They needed a turnaround. They done it yesterday, but on our perspective, we're trying to stay away from that relegation spot.
Are you though? Is that the thing? Because that was never anyone's pre-season thoughts about Kilmarnock.
It wasn't at the start of the season. I thought maybe top five, maybe six would be good because obviously that European run, but it's getting closer and closer to the end of the season. It's getting a wee bit squeaky bum time, so I don't know. We'll need to see what happens.
Mark, I think the phrase I've heard a lot from different people today, which probably does just sum it up, it all felt very un-Derek McInnes-like. You know, for his teams. I mean, obviously Aberdeen were always challenging. This Killy team, this version of it, is at best capable of getting a result there, and at worst lose the game, but in the right way, if that's such a thing. It just felt very unusual.
A couple of the performances have been like that for Kilmarnock this season.
They've not been hosed in any games, have they?
You go back to the start of the season, 4-0 at Celtic Park, but Celtic were very good, and we all admitted that. But still,
and Killy were in that European cycle at that point.
You then, St Johnstone at home, of course, down to 10 men, they concede 3-6. So, similar patterns, and they're always usually well organised. They've got, you know, quite a tight back line. They don't give up many chances, but you're right. Last night was the total opposite. 15 games played, 13 points yielded from that is worrying. And everybody expects, like Killy actually, Hibs and Hearts are going to somehow kick into life. So if they do kick into life, you better make sure you're winning your games as well.
No, the worst thing for me, everybody talks about, and rightly so, Derek McInnes' team, the way he sets up, very difficult, well organised. They've lost the most amount of goals.
Yeah.
That would start alarm bells for me.
But should we be surprised?
Is it the worst goal difference as well, Mr. Yeah. League table?
Yeah.
See, a couple of weeks or at the weekend actually, he plays such an attacking formation. You know, he weights the top end of the pitch quite heavily with wingers and strikers. So is he putting too much strain on the defence? It's great when it comes off and you get lots of goals like they did last season, but it isn't working so far this season.
You can give him a wee bit slack because how many games and through disciplines he went down to 10 men, right? And it's cost him. But last night was a real sore one, and we've seen the highlights and seen bits of the game. They were never at the races last night. I thought they were lucky to get out of Ibrox 6, because Rangers in the opening 15 minutes should have scored an R3. So the writing was on the wall for the start. I know Derek went in the second half, changed it and went 4-4-2.
I mean, Joe Wright went off for the head knock, yeah. And it makes things worse. I'm not saying that's enough to swing the game the way it did, but just, you know, it's just one of those.
Yeah, look, I tipped Kilmarnock for another successful season, especially after last year. They're struggling just now, and losing becomes a habit as much as winning. They've got to try and get out of that. They've got a difficult game this weekend. They got up to Tannadice. Dundee United are sitting in fourth, going very well indeed. They'll fancy that. So Derek will need to change one or two things to get this club moving again.
The game at Tannadice is one that, when you ask us our predictions on Saturday, you wouldn't be surprised though if Kelly go up there and win. It's the type of game that they have, you know, in recent years went up and negotiated okay. Mm-hmm. But they need to start kicking on soon, because John's right, you get to the end of December and you're slowly, quickly looking at the end of the season. There's only 4 or 5 months to go. So he doesn't want to find themselves in that bottom three come start of January.
Okay, thank you very much to John. He lost in the end.
I like
beat the
John.
Pundit.
He was
I did
good.
Like him.
Yeah,
let's leave this particular discussion with the thoughts of Derek McInnes, who said it was a horrible night.
It does matter. It should matter to players that losing a game 2 or 3-0 is different to losing 5 and 6. But we felt sorry for ourselves. We failed to get the fundamentals of stop your man, stop across, get tight in the box. And yes, Rangers were clinical. Rangers had their tails up. They started to enjoy the game. I think once we flooded the midfield, we kind of stopped a wee bit of the front lot enjoying the game. But they then go on the outside of us and we don't stop crosses. So such a horrible night for us. It shows what can happen if you don't keep your determination and you don't keep your concentration and keep your heads within you. So a horrible night for us. No acceptable to lose in that type of manner. We now need to try and get back to being the team we were. We've had wee signs yet. 6 weeks ago we beat Rangers, a few weeks ago we beat Hearts. 45 minute performance, strong on Saturday. We've never been hosed like that this season, and it has to be a reference for us now going forward that we try and go to Dundee United Saturday, and the first protocol is to try and keep a clean sheet and get back to getting a bit of confidence into our defensive work, and that's what we'll try and do. We'll move on for this quickly.
Great time to call, because if you do, we'll try and get you on next. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is that time of the night where Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel put their immense footballing brain power together and try and answer a question that was sent in by you, the full-time teaser. So that's how you can get involved, by emailing fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. You've heard people say that you two are kind of like the Ant and Dec of Scottish football radio.
Yeah, but
never. Nobody's ever said that, have they?
No.
But who would ban take it? Deck?
Size of your forehead with that receding hair.
You're a wee dumpy guy. You'll be Dec then.
Have you cut your forehead actually?
It's the other side, isn't it?
It's not the start of the hair transplant or anything, is it?
No, that starts tomorrow.
Seriously?
Cash for Kids.
What do you mean?
That's who I'm going to table with.
Contract. I thought you meant at the lunch they were going to implant you.
That would be part of the entertainment.
Oh, I wouldn't have.
Yeah. So you have to schmooze them tomorrow to see what other procedures they can get done.
I've already done that. That's mate, let me tell you, I will walk in there one day and you'll be going, where's Daz? Is he behind you? Different face.
Fair enough. Anyway, in honour of I'm a Celebrity came out of here being on the TV. It's not like you
still watching it,
Dick.
Yeah, I like it, yeah.
Can you name, this is incredible, great research from Colin and Falkirk, the last three ants and the last three decks to score in the Scottish Premiership?
That's quite good.
So can you name the last three ants and the last three decks to score in the Scottish Premiership?
Declan, the boy at Motherwell, Declan Gallagher.
Yep, it was for St Mirren against Ross County, but okay, good. Declan Gallagher, now at Dundee United.
Declan John.
Yes, for Rangers against Kilmarnock.
You do know your Declans. Yeah. Go for a hat-trick of decks.
Declan...
Good question, isn't it?
Oh, Declan
Glass.
Yes.
Oh, the bets are done. Oh, we've done the bets. Right, we'll
hey, that's there. 3 stars for the food.
We rate well. Leave it there. You've got three to get. You've got three ants.
Three ants.
The last three ants to score in the Scottish Premiership. But we've got until the end of the show, so leave it for now. 01419511025 on the phones if you so wish. Oh, and don't forget, I've still got this video that was uploaded 18 years ago to YouTube.
Nah, I don't think it's me, mate.
Anyway, Robbie is on the line. Take it away, Robbie.
Good evening, guys. Yeah. I want to get to the Hibs game on Saturday, team selection for that game. But first of all, I just want to speak about Rio Hoitati. As you know, guys, we're living the knee-jerk reaction capital of world football sometimes, and obviously Hugh Keevan's coon-off after, what was it, a couple of months or maybe even...
A couple of minutes, I think, but, actually.
A couple of minutes, maybe, I say he would never make it at Celtic. Mm-hmm. But it's just about Rio Hoitati. If you come in first, Gordon Dale, I want to make the point about him there. See, as good as he is, now, I'm not just going to just... say over the last like wee while he's been a wee bit up and down over the last like say before the international break and just after the international break. See the thing he's got bothered, and this even came from his own manager Gordon, is inconsistency. Now see the money that Jota went for, Kieran Tierney went for, and Matt O'Reilly went for. See he signed an extension to his deal a year ago. He's 27, right? It takes him up to 2028. Now, I'm just going to say that now, see if you were to get 20 to 25 million for him in January, you would be doing I'd be doing cartwheels up and down London Road for that amount of money for him. Now, I'm just saying he's got a lot of potential to go down. He wants to play in this Premiership, Gordon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that he's not going to go for big money anytime soon. He's too inconsistent. And that came for his manager just about... 3 or 4 games ago at a press conference and at the start of the season. He's got problems with inconsistency, Gordon. No, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I'm taking this sample size over his full career at Celtic. From January 2022 when he signed, right up until now, I'm going to sum him up this way. He's a great player when he's on form, but that can be said for a lot of players. Brilliant when he's on form. He's a 9 out of 10. But I'll say one thing, Gordon. See if he wants to go down the Premiership and Celtic want to get big money for him. He is... a bit away for big money, 20 to 25 million. What do you think, mate?
I think you make some good points. I don't think there's many Celtic fans out there who's got to disagree with the fact that, one, Hoitati is a brilliant talent on his game. He has been a bit up and down, a bit of inconsistency, as you quite rightly said there, Robbie. I don't think he's going to go for that sort of money. No doubt for me that English clubs would look at him because he is, you know, he's at the right age, 27, prime his career. You've seen his goal last night, and people look at that and think, oh, well, it's a simple, you know, knock by the guy. That's a great bit of ability. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a great run timing of it. He's got everything in his locker. Look, if he went down to England, he would succeed down there because he's a very intelligent footballer as well. But I think you're right. I think the one thing, if you criticise Hoitati, would be inconsistency. But on his game, he's as good as in.
Well, look, I would agree. With the points, be great if Hoitati could play to that standard every game.
So is he less consistent than those ones that Robbie mentions? Is that what got them?
Matt Riley and guys like that. Probably I would agree with that because he's never quite had the complete season. You know, when he came... everybody sat up and took notice of him. I'm pretty sure the following season didn't start that great. Had some injuries, and that maybe stunted his performances. But even when he's been fit, I think Brendan Rodgers' analysis of him, I believe it was correct when he says he maybe gives the ball away too much because he's trying maybe the more difficult pass. So maybe he needs to simplify things. And I think that's what Brendan Rodgers tried to get through him. But technically, I think he's ahead of most of those players in terms of what he can do and some of the moments in the game. Daz is right to highlight his finish, you know, how good that is, bringing it down and hitting it in the half volley. So very good they could fit in England that way. But Robbie's got a point. If he is playing at the top of his game every game, he will go, but he's not.
How do you think he was last night? Because I saw you kind of watching reaction come through on social media. It felt like at the time people were maybe suggesting he should be one to come off. And then managers look really clever, don't they? The one that you decide to keep on is the one that goes and scores.
I agree with that. I was sitting there when I seen the substitutions getting made. It was the first one I thought of. I thought, he's got to take Hatate off the pitch. But I thought Brendan Rodgers must take a lot of credit. I think he changed it at the right time. We highlighted it, he brought Taylor on. What a difference that was. He left Hatate on the pitch. I thought at one point he was going to take Maeda off very early because he was getting nothing out of Devlin in the right back position. But Brendan Rodgers, very experienced manager, he knew that, you know, if Taylor can get into those positions or a midfield player, Hatate's the one guy that will go beyond defences and centre forwards. He timed his run brilliantly and it was a great finish.
That's why I wouldn't have taken him off. I thought at that moment Hatate was finding great little spaces in and around the Aberdeen box on the left hand side, and he had a few efforts, if you remember, put his laces through one that went over the bar, but you could just see him causing Aberdeen problems. I think his relationship with Taylor is key to how Celtic end up playing in that second period, and I don't know if you get that with Bernardo. I think Bernardo's a very good player, but it was obviously proved right to keep him on, but that's why I would have kept him on as well. And the manager got it spot on. He has, by the way, Brendan Rodgers has to take huge credit. You know, people say it's easy, he's got the biggest squad and millions to spend, but he also has to make the right decisions at the right time to get the best out of that squad.
See, on that, Robbie, I think, I can't remember the exact phrase, but Brendan Rodgers alluded to the fact that the team for Aberdeen already sort of had the Hibs team in mind, and then the cup final, it's almost like it sort of planned out in advance. Is this where we really, you look at the six changes from the Ross County game, is this where we're going to really see that rotation in the next few weeks?
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say, Gordon. As obviously, me, Mark and Gordon, we've got another couple of days training before we really start looking at, you know, if it was Friday afternoon, we get after the press conference or whatever, we'd be more concrete on making our possible changes for the Hibs game. But I'm just actually going to fall into the two games after that. I've got Dynamo Zagreb on the Tuesday and the cup final. Now, they are going to be big, big, huge games, and I'm pretty sure that Gordon and Mark will agree, if there's any games or any of these three games that are going to make the big changes, a lot of changes, is going to be Hibs on Saturday, because I can't see much difference for the Tuesday away to Dynamo Zagreb than the cup final on the Sunday. They're hugely important games, they speak for themselves, so I can't see that much changes, because there's a good rest period in between the two games, the Tuesday to the Sunday. So I'm just going to just wing back a bit for these two games and go to actually Saturday. What do you think? I think he'll bring in James Forrest on the right hand side for Kuhn. I think we might see a midfield three, McGregor, Bernardo, and Luke McCowan. Maybe not, it might be even McCowan and Hatate and McGregor. And I think the back line, I think we might see Scales come back in for the Hibs game on Saturday. As I say, if I was making this call on Friday afternoon, it would be more concrete with our decisions. But what do you generally think, Mark and Gordon, for the changes for Saturday? And if you maybe you can go forward for the next couple of games as well, can you see a lot of changes?
I would agree with you, Robbie. I don't think you're far off for that. I think the position you find yourself in the league just now, and it's quite comfortable cushion, and you saw how those players performed last weekend against Ross County, I don't think you'd have any worries. I think you're right about the importance of the two games. Celtic go away and get a point in Zagreb, they're almost across that finish line, a qualifying for the playoff stages, and then of course you've got the big cup final, and no doubt in my mind that's your strongest team for any cup final, especially against Rangers. So this is the fixture that you could bring a couple of those players in.
He will make changes. Listen, he's got abundance of quality sitting there waiting to get on, and you rightly said against Ross County they just went about their business, and Ross County were lucky to get out there 5. I look at Ingles, for instance. I think he could come back into the mix at the weekend in the Midland Park. McGowan as well, you know, shepherded by McGregor, the experience just sitting there. He's got good options in the front area. Yang's starting to look a good player. Forrest has got great experience. And Ida might replace Kyogo, but he's got good options.
And thank you to Robbie, 01419511025. What about Jimmy Tilleen? How did he feel after last night? He was happy despite the defeat. He felt they were worth a point in the end.
First of all, I think to our supporters who stick with us in these conditions, and the players who are fighting so well outside there. Like, it's not an easy game to play. I think the game maybe a draw has been fair result because of the chances both teams created. So it's of course right after now it was tough to not get a point, but also be proud how the players competing. Our energy is back again, like in one way, even if it's a lot of games. But you can feel the connection with the supporters and how the players create this atmosphere together with them and give everything they could.
I think over the piece, you know, from last night, added to the weekend, added to the Hibs game and so on, there's a, well, it's not a perception, it's a fact that Aberdeen are sliding in terms of points. But I wonder if last night actually they were good enough in the game for it not to be as simple as that. Is there, you know, still some signs of life there?
Yeah, of course there are. Yes, at this moment in time, they've, what is it, two out of the last 12. People say, well, they're difficult games, Hibs and Hearts, but Hibs and Hearts are certain bottom of the league and certain bottom of the league. I think they showed enough last night. I think they've got enough quality players. I don't agree with them. I think that Celtic edged it for me. I thought Celtic possession wise, second half, the way they went about their business, Aberdeen had a great opportunity at the end, obviously. Mark highlighted that about Trusty's mistake, but Cameron Carter-Vickers bailed him out big time. I just thought that there's enough there for Aberdeen to go on another wee run, but over the course of the season, and I know that people say, well, we'll get to January, they can add one or two to the squad. I like the manager, I like the way they're going about their business. I think they will have a good season, but there'll be ups and downs.
I was just going to say, the head-to-heads against Celtic take away the semi-final, but there's one goal between them, you know. They managed to get it back to 2-2 at Celtic Park in
the league games.
So I think he should be pleased with that. St Mirren game's a killer for him, though, isn't it? That's a killer.
Right, okay, the teaser's a good one tonight. It's in honour of I'm a Celebrity, get him out of here, apparently. Or it's a nod to you two being Scottish football's answer to Ant and Dec. Can you name the last three Ants and the last three Decs to score in the Scottish Premiership? You've done the Decs.
Yeah.
Declan Gallagher, Declan Glass and Declan
right.
John.
I've got one Ant. Stokes?
No, not the last three.
Oh. Anthony
Ralston.
Ralston.
Yes. Two to get. And the much hyped and promised YouTube video.
Is it in the building?
That I got sent, that was uploaded 18 years ago to YouTube. I don't know if I can, I don't even know if I can play the full video for those in the live stream, but for those listening radio, we'll tell you enough about it. It's coming next. You recognising it yet?
Oh no.
Coming now, is
no.
it?
Oh no.
Is that a tease?
Well, that's a wee tease. We'll do it after the break. No.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here on 0141 951 1025. I don't know how you spent the break there,
he's
but
busy
phone. Did you come up with any answers to the teaser? We're looking for the three ants and the three decks. That have scored, the last three Ants, the three Decks to score in the Premiership. You've got Declan Gallagher, Declan Glass and Declan John. Anthony Ralston.
You get any?
Any other? We'll leave it there.
He was giggling.
Do you know why? Because more important than the teaser,
mate, I don't play this.
80, someone sent me this today, an email as well, of a video that was uploaded to YouTube 18 years ago. I had to crunch the numbers and think, did YouTube even exist 18 years ago? This could have been one of the first videos ever uploaded to YouTube, I think. And it is of you, Gordon Dalziel, on stage singing. Now, for those,
I know where this is.
For those, there's the picture.
Oh.
Look at that.
Look at big chunky. Look.
Oh, goodness gracious.
For those on the live stream, you can see the picture. I can't play the video. Our technology's not quite caught up to that yet.
Oh.
And for those listening on radio, this is what it sounded like. You're all right, by the way. The crowd are loving that. He's quite good. You need to see the video. I'll send you.
Send me that.
It is ludicrous.
That is
seriously
an evening of entertainment. Why are you on stage? At that, by the sound of it. But I need to see the actions.
Why are you on stage with this band? Tell us.
Wait, that's a wee bit.
Why? What's the story?
I was a group. I was playing a. I can remember this.
Who's the backing singer?
It was a group, right? And they were playing at a charity thing, right? And they asked me if I would go up and sing "Burning Love" with them.
See, the start, he gives us the someone gives him the words, the lyrics, guess, that's in his hand, and he goes, "I've never done this in my life before."
Hey, no bad.
You're an embarrassment.
I'm sure. Okay.
No, you can't. Does. And get that shared on Super Scoreboard's page. Get a vote on that.
It's quite long as well. It's a long video.
Is it? Oh. Full song?
Mate, the full lot. I wish I'd the Elvis show. I was good at no.
There is a bit of Elvis
at,
in his final days.
Hold on. I wasn't at karaoke, that was live.
Someone threw a scarf at you like Tom Jones in the video.
Oh, I think there was a scarf. There were no scarves. But in the days it was quite big.
Bloomers.
Oh, exactly. The grannies.
Is the cash, if the Cash for Kids lunch goes well tomorrow, you could be on stage.
I tell you what, there's a mic there.
Listen, you've got contacts every year.
Yeah.
How annoying is he? Every year you somehow know who the surprise music act is. Do you know?
Yeah, I know who it is. It's going to be great. And I could see a duet.
Someone that would take him on stage?
Yeah. By the way, it would be.
Ah, good, innit?
The act would take you on for a wee bit of. What's that called? Burning Love?
Burning Love, Elvis. I don't know if they can do that. C flat.
C flat.
is that an event, by the way, called Rock the Rovers? Was it a Rock Rovers
thing? Yeah. Mate, I was the manager.
Honestly. You go about your life slaughtering everybody else, right? And see some of the nonsense you've done that you get away with.
See anyway. The happiness I brought to that.
I do want to go semi-serious and talk football again before the end. So Motherwell fans, might be a good chance for you to get involved. What's happening there? Bad defeat last night. Do want to give a quick mention to some guys we met before we come on. The Wolf Tuna Club, three guys, Justin, David, Naden. They're taking on the Three Peaks Challenge. Not only that, they're running a half marathon after each climb. That is a serious physical undertaking, Mark Wilson.
Amazing. I was chatting to the guys.
You know your peaks.
But no, doing it the way they are. Starting down at Snowdon, up, straight down, half marathon, then a dip, and then in the camper van up to Scaffold Pike, do the same, finish with Nevis. Incredible.
How long will that take?
I think they're doing it over what? A day.
Incredible. Anyway, sponsor the guys. Check out our socials or head to theirs, Wolf Tuna Club on Instagram.
Brilliant.
Doing it for Cash for Kids, a great cause. So, fair play, I have to say. Yeah. Drag you along.
We'll get up Nevis, two of us. No. What about us? Yeah, at the end, up Nevis.
Tinto is about as far as I can go.
What a steep, you know, that's.
Is it?
Oh, it's hard on the lips.
I from my golf course.
Hey, can he get up Tinto? Imagine him.
All day long.
Not a chance.
It's actually quite steep. But
is it? I don't like that. It bores me that.
It's probably
walking
not really
up
that
and
steep.
Then walking down.
Anyway.
I'm a swinger.
Clearly. What about the Steelmen? Is that. How much of a worry are the last three results capped off by last night?
Which worried me is the defensive play. I watched highlights, Gordon, right, and I listened to Stuart Kettlewell, and I totally agree with him. See, from middle to front attacking, I thought they were very good. Created chances, looked sharp, everything about them. You can look at that talking point, you know, Dundee go right up the park and score when Motherwell have got a player lying in the box. But they lose three goals in 7 minutes. I watched them against Hibs at Fir Park. The goals they lost there were ridiculous. You can go back and say, well, hold on, we've missed a few experienced players because Stephen O'Donnell's been playing well. McGinn's a captain. He's a big miss as well. But defensively, I think Stuart's got a lot of work to do. He's got to get it right. And he's at St Mirren, am I right, on Saturday, which has got to be a real tough battle. But I think he would be disappointed. And the Motherwell fans aren't happy at all.
I agree. I mean, you look at the goals they've conceded in the last couple of games, just poor. And again, going back to what Kilmarnock are, they look easy to play through. There's a mistake in there sometimes as well. That's a worry because they started the season so well.
Are Paul McGinn and Stephen O'Donnell looking more important with every passing
course.
Week?
You just need that experience.
It's experience.
But they're good players, good defenders. And it means a lot to them to defend their goal. That's a forgotten art sometimes in the game. Everybody concentrates in the top end. But Motherwell are showing that you need that solidity at the back. So they're missing them. Needs to get it right, and Daz is right. Not an easy place to go and get it right on Saturday as well.
I think there's a deeper point here where we're obviously more impatient about everything, and then it clearly makes its way into football. And let's be honest, as soon as your team starts to lose results, the culture's just shifted. There's just like people just say, "Oh well, manager's time's up." And that's all I saw last night was
get rid of the manager.
And I get that people might think they're ahead of the game and might think that this is the start of something that ends bad, and they're trying to say that you want to get in there first. But my own experience of being from that part of the world and where your expectations are, Motherwell should and never will sack a manager when they're sixth in the league. I mean, how do we go to that narrative so soon? Terrible last night, terrible last few. You might even have concerns overall. Clubs of that size just don't think about managers being under pressure when they're sixth in the league. They just don't.
I just think it's a compliment to Stuart Kirtwell, because he won a game, and I can't remember what game it was. Who's a Motherwell supporter, goes to all the games. Absolutely slated them. Slated the way they were
playing.
But
by the way, you can say some of that's now vindicated. Some of the performances haven't been good. They should be called out in isolation.
But you're right in what you're saying, Gordon. Motherwell are sitting top six just now. Okay, the form lately, defending lately, has been poor. We can't deny that. But I think if you said, right, by the 5th of December, you're sitting top six, some of the games won't be that great, then I think that you would say definitely.
The irony is, though, the Motherwell fans that phoned in on Saturday anyway, they said that the team's playing too defensive-minded. And, you know what I mean? And they're conceding seven in the last...
They focus more on defending in the last couple.
I mean? So fans sometimes, they're just knee-jerk reactions off results. But you have to look at the full season. They're in the semi-final, 1-0 up against Rangers not that long ago, sitting pretty in fourth. Couple of games changes everything. But again, if he goes and wins or finds a way to get a decent result against St Mirren, just puts that wee bit of breathing space.
And I should know the date, shouldn't I? I said the 6th. It's the 5th. It's his birthday. That's when the Christmas tree goes up.
Oh, tomorrow.
Oh, is it up tomorrow? Is it?
There is one up already, unfortunately.
Nah.
But
I've got the lights.
But that's when I really switch. So tomorrow, as soon as
the lights get switched on.
When I get in the car in the morning, it's like there's Christmas a ceremonial party. Switching on of Christmas music.
Clyde Christmas tomorrow.
When I get home tomorrow night, first Christmas film of the season will go on day after my birthday.
What are you watching?
Usually start with one of those kind of gentle gateway ones, like a Home Alone. No, nothing overly, I suppose it's Christmassy, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just a kind
What's the one, the guy running home in the snow? Do you like the black and white thing? What's that one again?
This conversation.
A film critic speaks, It's a Wonderful Life.
Wonderful Life.
The guy running home in the snow. I'll say that's a Christmas Eve number, that.
Is it?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you do Christmas? I don't do Christmas films.
Not really anymore. I know, I should.
Anyway, let's try and finish teaser. We've got the last three ants and the last three decks to score in the Scottish Premiership. Declan Gallagher, Declan Glass, Declan John, Anthony Ralston. They're both still playing in the Premiership.
Anthony what?
No, he didn't. He's not in the last three.
Oh,
and Antonio Colak as well. Believe it or not. So Dundee, actually, defender.
I don't know him.
Antonio Portales.
Oh, big Portales. Yep.
Aberdeen.
Anthony Joseph. No.
Not.
I don't know.
Where does he play? What position?
Matilda. Quick.
Anthony.
It's not Anthony.
Tony.
No.
Tony.
Big Ant.
How do you know Ant?
Antonio.
Ante Palaversa.
I never get that.
Only, what was that last month?
I never get that.
Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Thank you for joining us tonight. Enjoyed that. We're back tomorrow. Marvin Bartley and Scott Allen are here as we build up to another big weekend of Scottish football. These things just come round very quickly, and we're looking forward to it. So join us from 6. Hope you two behave yourselves at the Cash for Kids lunch tomorrow.
We will.
I'll be asking all about it on Saturday. And enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.